Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Field of Vision podcast. This is episode number 2. And as you guys have seen from our posting, my guest today is Dr. Karen Thomas, Commander Karen Thomas, right? She's smiling over here in the room for everybody. I will say a couple things before we get started. First of all, of course, blindrehab.com is our official website. Feel free to check it out. There is a ton of stuff on there right now. You can support us by purchasing one of our amazing Braille t-shirts. You can also check it out and share the information that's on that website with people in your community, people that you work with. One of the things that we've just put up is a worldwide directory of guide dog schools. So feel free to check it out, and I hope it's useful to you. Anywhere you live in the world, you can find a facility that will train you on how to use a guide dog. Also, the Smithsonian, I should say, this podcast is brought to you by the Smithsonian, who now has a tour specifically for people who are blind or who have low vision. You can visit the Smithsonian Museum of American Art. And this Wednesday, I believe it is, the 15th of December at 3:30 in the afternoon, there is a tour related to the Civil War. And there's a lot of cool art at the museum. I've been there a few times, and I strongly recommend it. So you guys should definitely check that out. All right, Doctor, Commander.
Yes.
Military. Awesome. Karen Thomas, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me to this podcast.
I'll tell you something, the thing that I've found cool about you is you ask such thoughtful questions, right? Like, we work here a few days a week, you're in the office here with us, and you ask some really awesome questions with respect to blindness and how people do things, and you are an ophthalmologist.
That's right? Correct.
And you do some great work with the military. One of the things that I guess we're gonna talk about today is the artificial cornea that you've been working on. So
yes.
do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. In the fall of 2011, my first night on call here, I was able to take care of an injured patient from Afghanistan. And at the time, my chief of ophthalmology asked me if I would like to participate in artificial cornea research. And this patient was injured. He was shot across the frontalis, and both of his eyes blew out in bilateral open globe injuries. And he had had prior RK, where he had 8 incisions placed in the cornea to help with his distance vision, and the eye blew out through these incisions. So he was repaired by an incredible surgeon in Afghanistan and then flown to the States, where I saw him at about 3 o'clock in the morning and thought, how are we going to help this gentleman? And so the artificial cornea research project began.
So what is RK?
So RK is radiokeratotomy. It's where, for people that have nearsightedness, 8 incisions are placed. And this patient was unfortunately not wearing eye protection. So he, because of the pressure, had these incisions open, and the contents of his eye and lens and so forth ended up coming out of both of the eyes.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff that we put out on Twitter and Facebook has a lot to do with protecting your vision, right? So
yes.
When you're doing everything that involves you getting close to items, so if you're doing woodwork, if you're doing, you know, anything around the house that requires you to protect your eyes, we always talk about that, because injuries are the way, or a key way, that people go through and have vision loss from being injured. So
yes, and he was a DEA agent. He was not military, but because he was injured in the war in Afghanistan, he was eligible for care here.
Wow. So and so, all right, so they asked you about getting into the program, right? As far as like doing some of the
research,
some of the research for the artificial cornea. And so where has it gone? Like what?
So it's been very exciting. It started out, the artificial cornea, there were 10 patients in Sweden who were repaired with this type of material. It's the original collagen, which the cornea is made of collagen, was brought from Jerusalem from the tobacco plant. and the material was shipped to Igenics, where they created an artificial cornea. The cornea is the front dome that protects the eye. And so through evolution of different materials, we're now using porcine or pig collagen. The FDA trials are to start next year.
So the FDA is going to start. Wow. So, you know, a lot of people don't quite understand. Like, the folks that listen to this podcast aren't, you know, doctors. Like, we're not talking to a lot of doctors. We're talking to professionals in the rehab field, and we're talking to people who are blind who want to know more about vision loss and stuff like that. So, talk to us about, like, the FDA trials. Like, how does that work? Like, where does the process even begin? Like,
sure.
If you're going to get something out there.
We've done animal studies with this artificial cornea, and basically the front of the eye, the cornea, is sort of like the front of a camera. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to replace that in a what's called a lamellar fashion or a partial thickness fashion so that the patient's integrity of the eye is not violated. So we're able to replace the cornea, the front part of the eye, with this material, and it's sutured in place so that the tissue remains viable. And it takes probably about 3 or 4 months before the vision really comes in for this type of graft.
And you tried this on?
We did a research study utilizing rabbits. And
so PETA loves you.
Yes,
they're big fans.
Exactly.
I can tell
them
that.
Yeah.
So what? How did it work? Like, what did you guys do with the rabbits?
So initially, we were looking at repairing the eye in Afghanistan as a bandage. So we were gluing this to the front of the eye. But the material was too thick that we're able to thin the cornea and also use this like a Band-Aid to put across the eye until the patient has optimal care in the States.
Mm-hmm. And it was basically like surgical type glue, right?
Exactly. Like, not super
guys,
glue.
You guys weren't getting like Gorilla Glue.
No.
All right. So you did this to like with rabbits and so what were the results? Like what did you actually?
We found that the patch stayed in place for 5 days, which is about the amount of time that it takes for the patient from point of injury to get to Germany and then back to the States is around 3 to 5 days. So we found that the material stayed in place and remained clear for those 5 days. Next, we're utilizing sewing in the material after replacing the front of the cornea. And those studies have been done at Johns Hopkins and UC Davis. And so we've been able to collaborate with those two institutions to help us with additional rabbit studies. And the studies are still ongoing.
Okay, well, good. When you... So have you seen any type of result like stemming from this, like where if a person has the artificial cornea put in, like is there what points to the fact that there will be some positive outcomes
results? So the great thing about the artificial cornea is that it doesn't reject. So it's not like transplanting another human being's cornea into the eye. That steroid drops are not needed. And long-term immunosuppression or long-term medication to prevent rejection is not required in this case.
That's interesting. So I've seen a lot of people and worked with a lot of people who have had corneal transplants, and they usually, you know, use a cadaver cornea.
Exactly.
And those have been very it's like a in the middle kind of thing. Like there's been a lot of rejection. And I know people that have actually had to have it done, you know, 3 and 4 times before it actually can take to a point where it's like livable. So
yes.
this is a really cool thing that you guys are doing. I enjoy learning a lot about, you know, medical type stuff, especially with the eye. And so, I mean, you guys have come a long way. That's really good. So medical trials, getting back to that. What's the procedure for getting into medical trials? So you start with this research.
Basically, at different facilities, UC Davis, Johns Hopkins, and additional San Antonio and Walter Reed here, where I'm located, will conduct patient trials where a certain number of patients have the transplant and then they're followed for a year. The cornea transplants from cadavers often fail after 10 or 15 years. It's kind of like they wear out. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that this artificial cornea called Igenics, from a company based in Hawaii, we're hoping that this cornea will last a patient's lifetime.
Yeah, and I met the gentleman who's working on that from
Hawaii. Yes, Tony Lee.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
That guy's, and he's got a heck of a story too, man. That guy,
yeah.
Heck of a story. Love him. Very yeah. nice guy.
Tony
Very
Lee, nice who's leading the project, was injured in a shark attack incident and lost one of his legs.
Good Lord.
So
man.
He's very up on prosthetics, and certainly this eye prosthesis is what Igenix is all about.
That's some stuff you hear about on the news. You don't know
yeah.
many people that have been attacked by a shark.
No.
That guy, wow, and he's come through it really, really well, and
I'm very
impressed. You know, nice guy, great attitude, you know, all that good stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, he's been through a lot. So.
And we were able to tour here around Walter Reed and see how patients get from point of injury to surgery and then rehab. That we've got great rehabilitation services here at Walter Reed.
So. All right, so continuing on, after you do the research, what's the next step in getting something to be approved by the FDA?
So the patients are followed for a period of 1 year, at which point any signs of rejection of the material are followed. And again, we're using porcine collagen. No human collagen is present in the material.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that the rejection rate is zero.
Mm-hmm.
And after a series of clinical trials, we'll then have the material FDA approved. And approximately 50,000 cornea transplants are performed here in the United States every year. So
50,000
yes.
sounds astronomically high.
Yes.
When you consider that there's, what, 360 million, let's say, here?
Yeah.
50,000 a year sounds
pretty high.
Very, very high.
And probably 100,000 worldwide. And the,
right.
the lack of available corneal tissue, especially in the UK, is very prevalent. Here in the United States, we have a little bit more availability of human cadaver cornea transplants.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly that, as we increase the number of cornea transplants, and sometimes from failed cataract surgery and retina surgery and so forth, certainly this material will become very valuable.
I agree. I think it's going to be awesome. And you know, like I said, you know, 50,000 sounds high. It probably isn't, you know what I mean? But this is something that I think, if approved, will definitely benefit a lot of people. You know, I've got something called keratoconus, and I've always talked with doctors about possibly doing a corneal transplant. We wanted to wait since there's other, you know, issues going on with my eyes. I also have RP, retinitis pigmentosa. So we weren't sure as to the amount of vision that would be restored. Like, would it be useful? Would it be, you know, something that I would benefit from if we went through the corneal transplant? Is all the effort going to be worth it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, and we've determined that it's probably not going to be worth it. So there's no reason to hurry up and do a corneal transplant. So I'm kind of out of the equation right now when it comes to a corneal transplant. I didn't really want to do it anyway. I was very, very nervous about it. So,
well, and certainly,
you know,
the retina,
it's
the film of the camera has to be in good condition, and the
yeah.
visual potential has to be there in order for a patient to be eligible for a corneal transplant.
Right. My retinas are terrible. So
yeah.
it is what it is.
One of the other things about the material is in doing a partial thickness cornea transplant where we implant this material, the vision recovery is much faster than with a full thickness transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And so the little endothelial cells, the inner lining of the patient's own cornea, is kept in place when the cornea transplant is performed.
And so the full thickness transplant is basically, you know, there's five layers in your cornea. Your cornea
exactly.
is made up of five layers. And we're talking about, you know, removing those
the
five layers.
The first three layers.
Oh, the first three?
Three are removed. And the decimase, it's called the basement membrane of the eye, and the endothelial cells are kept in place in this type of transplant.
Okay. So
certainly we're looking to see whether this material could be used in a full thickness transplant. But basically, in order for a patient to become eligible, their posterior cornea has to be in good condition to be eligible for this material.
Cool. Is there anything anyone can do that can help with the trials, or also helping get this put through, you know, getting it approved by the FDA?
Certainly, word of mouth is important, and we've been presenting this data at various international ophthalmology meetings, but patients can log on to eygenix.com, eygenix.com, and learn more about the material.
And we'll post a link to the show notes, so everybody can just click on that. And it's eygenix.com, eygenix.com. And so they can visit that, and there's instructions there on help,
like
exactly. How they can help and all that.
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good. Anything else you want to, like, you want to add to this whole thing?
No,
cool stories? Like, I always want to ask, yeah. Like, everybody wants to ask doctors, like, so without obviously getting into, without getting into names and stuff like that.
The patient gave me permission to talk about his case, but basically, when I was deployed in 2012, he had a keratoprosthesis called a Boston K-Pro in one of his eyes. So he's already had a cornea transplant in that eye, and he's doing very well. We were at first not sure if he would have any useful vision, but basically he can navigate around his house. And so this Boston K-Pro, though, has a lot of complications, such as you can get a membrane that forms over this implant, and that's what happened to him. So he's had to have a couple of surgeries to remove these membranes. That certainly, I think the eygenix material is a one-of-a-kind material. There's nothing like it, and certainly this will probably replace human cadaver corneas.
Does he have any blind rehab happening? Like, are people coming over to kind of train him on stuff?
Yeah, he's a DEA agent. It's interesting that the DEA kept him on, even though he's blind, and he participates in bodybuilding competitions and has won many awards doing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
A powerful DEA agent, man.
Yes.
That's phenomenal. All right. Well, hey, you know.
Thanks for inviting me.
Dude, you are one of my favorite people. And as I tell everybody, you know everything. So
Karen Thanks for Thomas inviting knows me everything. To this podcast.
Oh, anytime. And I really appreciate you doing it. You are fantastic. Again, eygenix.com. That's eygenix.com for Dr. Karen Thomas and all the stuff that she's doing with the artificial cornea. You definitely want to check out blindrehab.com for all of your rehabilitation needs and this podcast. Feel free to please share it on Twitter, Facebook. You guys have been doing awesome at that with the last few that we've done. Everybody's been sharing them and putting out comments, and very, very positive, and I really appreciate that. I want to do more of these. And all of that depends on you guys, okay? So blindrehab.com, follow us on social media, and we will talk.